It's like, this isn't what I was expecting. I've been digging this hole for 10 days now, and there's a buried treasure down there. And I finally hit the box, and I bust it open. There's just some dead man's bones in there. What a disappointment. I had all this hope that there's going to be this big gold chest down there. I'm so disappointed. I never really did that, but that's, you know, how we are about things, hoping for good and get a bad outcome. But that's not real spiritual hope. Real hope doesn't disappoint. It's a hope is a reality we are not yet to experience. Jeremy Brown, do you hope your brother Joshua Brown gets saved? That's a goofy question, ain't it? But there was a time he hoped his brother would get saved, but he has that hope. That hope is gone. He doesn't hope for you to get saved anymore because you got saved. It's the reality. Amen. So hope is a reality we are yet to experience. We know it's going to happen. We know we're going to heaven. That's believers. I've asked some people that claim to be really believers and about heaven. Well, I hope so. It's like, what do you mean you hope so? You're either going or you're not, you know? And you know, we're born again. We're going to heaven. Praise God. I'm not hoping I'm going to heaven. That is my hope. That is a sure thing in our lives. We just haven't gotten there yet. And then when we get to heaven, that hope of heaven is gone because I'm there. Praise God. Hope means, from the Greek word, elpis, to anticipate with pleasure. I like that. Anticipate with pleasure. Expectation and confidence. It's a confident expectation. Praise God. Romans 8:24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? That's why Jeremy doesn't hope Joshua gets saved. That's why you guys don't hope that your dad gets saved, because he's saved. Praise God. You don't hope for what has already happened. Hallelujah. So it's okay if you can't see what God is doing. Hope would not be an essential part of our faith if we could always see and understand what is going on. So we can have hope through all of this craziness out there. My hope is God is in control. I never once stood up here and said, this body, you don't have to worry. None of us. I know a lot of preachers did that. Some preachers said that about their church and they died. I never once stood up here and says, you don't have to worry. God, none of us are going to get the COVID. I kind of figured we would. But through it all, I believe God's going to protect us. And you know what? If perchance one of us would die from it, hallelujah. You're going to heaven. That's what you're hoping for. This message of hope is stupid if you're not excited that you get to go to be with the Lord. I have told people, you can't threaten me with heaven. Amen. He's in control. It rains on the just and the unjust. But we can see, you know what? Years ago when unemployment was like 14% or something like that, remember back 5-6 years ago? You know how many people were unemployed in our church? I think it was one person. It was like 1 or 2% or something like that. I really do believe God has favor on his people. God does protect us. God does heal us. God does keep us from things. But he also allows things to come. And in that, he's doing a work in you. He's doing a work in me. Amen? So, I want to just share a few things on the hope that God gives. Number one is it's supported and encouraged by the scriptures. If you read the scriptures regularly, your hope will always be built and strengthened. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Amen. So the scriptures, what are there? Through the patience, obviously what we read, we have to give time, you know, for it to unfold and work and the Spirit to work in our lives. We can, you know, we talk about let's be patient with one another, not be so hard. Sometimes you can't be so hard on yourself either. And understand you have to let the Word and the Spirit work in your life. So you have this patience and in the comfort of the Scriptures that we might have hope. Amen. Staying in the Word on a regular basis, among many things, grounds our hope. A second thing it does, it settles you and calms you. Acts 2:26. Therefore, we actually did this verse in Bible study this morning. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. That trust that we talk about a lot and that peace that we have, it's because of the hope in us. You know, the final outcome of our life is hope. And it's one of the three, the great three, right? Faith, hope, and love. These three. Love is the greatest of them all, of course. But hope is right up in there. It's a very important thing in the kingdom of God. So this hope settles us and calms us. I try not to get out there and to be and get off an impression of arrogance because I'm not having a mask and things. But so often, I mean, actually, it took me a couple months to realize, oh, yeah, there's something going on out here. I'm like going in a store not thinking about, oh, I wonder how come there's no toilet paper. Forget, oh, yeah, there's a big rush on it, you know. And it's like, what are these gloves doing laying out here? Kind of find out people are wearing gloves and all of that. But you know what? It was just because my hope was in the Lord. Amen. A third thing that hope does, it establishes you. It anchors you. I really like that word, anchor. If you've done any fishing and you put that anchor out, you hit a good fishing spot, you don't want to lose it, you get that anchor out so you can get all the fish out of there. And keeps you from moving, no matter how hard the wind blows, because the devil has a wind too. Now remember that he blew down Job's kid's house, but there's a holy wind. Amen. That's the wind I like. The holy wind, but Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. So hope is an anchor of our soul. Many times throughout my Christian life, when things look bad, I was comforted with the thought, I will forget it all when I'm in glory. Really doesn't matter. I don't like what happens, but it really, when it comes down to it, doesn't really matter what happens here, because I'm going. I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with the Lord for all eternity, for billions and billions and trillions and tamillions and zillions of years, and then it's still getting started. That's hard to think that you would never like be depressed for a second. That you're just constantly being blessed. That's a hard one. But I believe them. Amen? Me too. Amen. If we didn't have this hope, what is the scripture you just quoted, Sandy, out in the hall? Yeah, the most pitied. If we came to find out this is a fairy tale. Now, you know, to be honest with you, this isn't part of my message, but there are times I go, This is so awesome. It just seems like a fairy tale. But you know what? There's nothing else to believe. Because like you said, it would be like the biggest. A person that thinks they're healthy and goes to the doctor for a checkup and walks out finding they got 1 month to live because of cancer, that's a big disappointment. But that's nothing compared to the disappointment we would find if this was all just a hoax and a big fairy tale. But I know it's not. Because I know God. And you know why an atheist is an atheist? They're not really, they just think they are. It's because they just don't know God. If you know God, that puts an end to the whole thing. You know God's real, and he's in your life, and you talk to him, and he talks to you. That ends all of that. And I know this is the real life we live. Number four, hope delegates your life. It's a motivation for you to minister. Acts 26:6. And now I stand and I am judged for the hope. Remember, he's going around preaching to the Gentiles. He's telling his testimony. He's getting hated. They're trying to kill him. They're setting up plots to destroy him. They're trying to get people to speak against him. They're trying to destroy this man. And all he's doing is ministering to them life. And he says, and I stand and I am judged for the hope of the promise made by God. What is this hope that he's talking about? It's the resurrection. And if people say, well, they've never really heard, you know, resurrection was a new thing. Well, Herod thought that Jesus was maybe John the Baptist resurrected. So it's not a thing far-fetched from their mind. But when he talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it drove the people nuts. But that was the hope. We're going to resurrect every one of us. Unless we get raptured, we're going to get resurrected to life. Praise God. That's going to be an awesome moment, huh? When we come into heaven. And then I believe this is the last point. Hope is a force behind your purification. It is a motivation towards purification. Because you have hope, it works in you. Okay? It motivates you to do this. 1 John 3, 2-3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I like that. When God gets done with us, we're going to be like him. That's pretty awesome. And everyone who has this hope, do you have that hope that you're going to be like him? Do you believe the word? It says we're going to be like him. If you have this hope in him, purifies himself. So you got some commitment to this. You got some obligation to this. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he, Jesus, is pure. So it's, you know what? It's a lot easier to work towards something when you are promised you can achieve it. Amen? That'd be a bummer to set out to do anything in life knowing you will never ever accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. It'd be a real bummer to get married knowing that you'll never have a happy marriage ever in your life. Boy, that'd be a bummer. Who would want a marriage like that? But knowing, you know, I'm sure young people in here that get married, they see so many wonderful marriages in here. And I know that that excites them to get married. It makes people even want to get married. Oh, that looks so, seems so wonderful. I can't wait till it happens to me. You know what? They enter marriage enthused. They enter marriage confident. And probably don't think like, I don't know how this could go bad. It's probably what they're thinking. And what a way to get started, huh? But if you're just beaten down and just saying, nothing, no matter how hard you work, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to change, I guess I'd just give up right now. But to know that I'm going to be pure like him motivates me. I'm going to live pure now. I'm going to have a pure life now. I can have a pure mind now. And Dan, your experience at a pure mind, amen? After your what a testimony. Thank you for sharing that last week. You can get all of that junk out and have the pure mind. Hallelujah. So with the help of the Lord, you and I can achieve purity just as he is pure. Hallelujah. And in conclusion here, we're going to have communion here in a moment. I want to end one more scripture here. Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue, and if you got to continue in this church, your hope has got to rest in the Lord. Look forward to the Lord. So often we can look to the things of this world and be enticed and like, oh, I got something new to try. Maybe something else to satisfy. You're just putting your hope in something else. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So you can move away from the hope of the gospel if you decide that it just isn't truth. If your mind is on what the world offers, then your hope is in this life. Look out there. Get out at the stores. How do you like that for your hope? To live in fear. I told Pastor Tyler Thursday, Joy and I went to Walmart. And so I'm not picking on people with masks because I had one because you had to have one to go in. But I looked around and just for a moment I looked around and just saw everybody in there, the masks on. And this word came to my mind, sheep. I thought sheep came to my mind. So I was telling it to Pastor Tyler, we were talking, and he says, yeah, everybody's a sheep. It just depends on who your shepherd is. Amen? It's who your shepherd is. Praise God. Everybody's following somebody. Everybody's going to latch on to something. Everybody's going to go in some direction. And most people are going to look for a leader to direct them and guide them and take them. Well, our shepherd is the great shepherd. Jesus, I'm not your shepherd. I'm an under shepherd. He's your shepherd. People would get mad at me and say, hey, that lost sheep, that isn't me to go get them. The great shepherd gets them. I stay with the sheep. So no more fall away, no more get lost. When people get out from the flock, the great shepherd goes and gets them. Amen? Praise God. So if Jesus is your shepherd, then your hope is alive. We can come in here and meet like nothing's going on. Hallelujah. And I know that those that aren't here aren't here for our sakes, you know. I'm not going to be dumb, too, if I get it. I'm not going to just come in and go around and hug everybody and breathe on everybody and hope they get sick. I'm going to use some common sense just like we did when we had the flu, right? Nothing more, nothing less. But our hope is alive. If the government is your shepherd or another human being or even yourself, then you are a hopeless being. Amen. So while the wild world tries to figure out what to do with her many problems of COVID-19 and the rioting, and while behind the scenes forces are working toward controlling our lives, you and I are still to be light. Don't be distracted by that. You and I are still to offer this world hope. If the world can see the light of God in you, then they can put their hope in that God. Amen. So if the ushers would come forward, and while they're passing these out, I just kind of wanted to end by praying, kind of having a little prayer meeting here, so to speak, if you feel so led of the Lord to pray out, just to ask the Lord to really help us be light in these last days. Help us to really be the church. Help us not even get in and into the bantering and back and forth without there, but that we would be moved with more with compassion and see opportunities to snatch people from out of that darkness and be the light. Amen. So of course you'll have to pay attention to when the ushers come by, but if we could just bow our hearts and just start praying that way. And if you're gonna pray out, pray nice and loud so we can hear what you're saying and so we can amen it. Amen.